and encouraging one another. So take that home and look that over. If you want to do a Bible study, it's right there. Just some things that you can do to edify one another. How important that is for the body of Christ to do that. Do you know how blessed you are? Do you know how blessed you are? We're going to talk about that today as we look at Thanksgiving from the Bible. My message is entitled, "Tis the Season of Thanksgiving." And I hope you love the book of Psalms, because we're going to look at a section of that. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 30. And our text this morning is verses 10 through 12. The book of Psalms. I love the book of Psalms. I love preaching from it. I love reading from it. It's a book of praises. It's the Hebrew hymnal. It's the chorus for the church. There's 150 dynamic chapters in this book that display the glory of God, that rehearse for us our relationship with God by describing the so many different emotions and experiences that we have in life and with God. It's also a book that gives us some phenomenal history and some prophecy. It shows us that God is at work in our world and in our lives. It gives us predictions even of our Savior Jesus Christ. It is clearly a grand book of praises. The word thanks and thanksgiving are found around 58 times in the book, and two of them are in chapter 30 that we're going to look at today. So take your Bibles again, please, and or your phones or your iPads, and go to Psalm chapter 30. There's a subscription on this. It says, "A psalm, a song of dedication of the house, a psalm of David." It is suggested that this psalm that we're going to look at this morning, King David wrote after he committed the sin of numbering the people. That was a tragedy. 70,000 Israelites lost their life because of that. But God stopped the plague on a specific spot, on a threshing floor owned by a man named Ornan. And David went there and bought that piece of land, and he offered up a sacrifice to God. And then later at some point he wrote this psalm, because that piece of land that he bought became the land that Solomon built the temple of the Lord on. So this is a psalm that's sort of used to dedicate the temple of God. So the context of this song is that after a time of grief and suffering, a time of sin, David still rejoiced in the fact that God had forgiven him. He rejoiced in the fact of experiencing God's grace, and he offers up this thanksgiving to God. Let me read the psalm to you, and then we're going to focus on the last three verses, and I invite you to stand as I read the scripture to you. Psalm chapter 30, read verses 1 through 12. In my Bible, it's entitled Thanksgiving. "I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You have kept me alive that I would not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Now as for me, I said in my prosperity, I will never be moved. O Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain to stand strong. You hid your face, and I was dismayed. But to you, O Lord, I called, and to the Lord I made my supplication. What profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, that my soul may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever." Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that we can thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can open up your word and see how you are at work in our world and in our lives. And we thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can look in our lives and we can see you at work. We can look at the blessings you've provided for us. We can see how blessed we are. And Lord, I pray as we unfold a few verses in this psalm that you would help us to have even greater thankful hearts today for all that you are and all that you have given to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. This song is fitting for a Thanksgiving Sunday. In our times of trials and grief, even when we mess up, we can find God's forgiveness, and we can always experience God's grace in our life. And thanksgiving ought to be a natural response of us. You know, we're God's people. If Jesus Christ is your Savior, you are a redeemed sinner. That's something to be very thankful for today. For through Jesus Christ, we can offer up our sacrifices of thanksgiving. As one of the songs that we just sang said, thank you for the cross. Thank you for what Christ has done for us on the cross. And on the basis of the cross, we can approach Scripture and see how God has indeed blessed us. I want us to look at verses 10, 11, and 12 this morning and see a few things about how we can be thankful this Thanksgiving season. First of all, verse 10 shows us that our thanksgiving is to be directed to God. Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. If you notice in your Bibles, the word Lord is capitalized. That's the Hebrew word for Jehovah, Yahweh. It's the covenant name of God. It's a name that describes God in relationship with His people. It's a holy name, the holiest name for God. It's the name that was revealed to Moses. When Moses asked God, what is your name? He said, I am that I am. That's Yahweh. It means that He's sovereign, that He is self-existing, that He is the eternal God. He's the God who's in charge. He's the Lord who's the master of this universe. He's the Lord of grace and a Lord of help. A personal God who is right here in our here and now. He is ever present. He's as close as the mention of His name. And He offers to us grace and help. The psalm, these words, hear, O Lord, are a plea. He is crying out, David is, to the one who can intervene and act on his behalf. To King David, God is not a stranger. God is his Lord. He is the one who pardons him and gives him grace. He is the one who helps him in times of distress and blessing. God is a God that he can be thankful for and thankful to. So he writes this psalm in the midst of the circumstances that he was at, difficult circumstances. Here he is, the king of his nation, and his nation had just suffered tragedy. And yet he has offered to God a sacrifice of blessing, bought a piece of land that has become the great temple of God. And he writes this psalm and says, hear, O Lord, be gracious to me and be my helper, because he knows that God is gracious and he is his helper. Grace and help are two needs that we have that the Lord can provide and the Lord will provide. In the New Testament, we see some great passages of Scripture that help us understand this. One of them is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. I find myself reading this verse many times in hospitals or with people who have lost loved ones. There are times when I'm experiencing trouble. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Love that verse, grace to help in time of need. When we need it, when we're desperate for it, God provides it through Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, again, it makes it perfectly clear that grace and help are found because of the cross, because of the finished work of what Christ has done on the cross and out of an empty tomb. A few verses that show us the gospel of what we can be thankful for. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, it says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:12, we need to give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Do you realize, folks, we got a heaven waiting for us. We get to enjoy the inheritance, the saints of all of eternity. We can give thanks right now for that provision that we are going to receive. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and the faith in truth." We can be thankful for the cross. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, it says, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." When we offer our thanksgiving around the Thanksgiving table with our families, make sure you thank God. We live in a culture, you know, that's the secularists have tried to write God out of our culture, even tried to write God out of our history. In fact, they've even declared that the pilgrims, when they gathered for those first Thanksgiving, they didn't gather to thank God, they gathered to thank the Indians. Well, history tells us, no, they gathered to thank God. Every president has made a proclamation for Thanksgiving since then, since we became a nation, and every president addressed the proclamation Thanksgiving that we need to thank God. We can thank each other for a lot of things. We can thank God most of all because it is through Him we receive all of our blessings. Again, we live in a culture that doesn't want to even talk about God. We need to talk about God because, "O Lord, be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper." We are nothing. We have no hope and we have no help and we have no grace without the Lord. Therefore, it's always fitting, not just one day out of the year, but every day of our life, when we offer up our thanks, we thank God for all the blessings He has given to us through the cross. Amen? That's where our thanksgiving starts. David understood that. Again, you can read, you know, half the book of Psalms is what David wrote. And the theme of praise and celebration and appreciation for God's blessing is found over and over and over again. Because our only hope in life is the blessings that God gives to us. And in our New Testament theology, we note those blessings start because Christ went to the cross on our behalf, paid for our sin, and out of an empty grave gives us life abundant and life eternal. So this Thanksgiving season, please make sure that your thanksgiving is directed to God. Secondly, verse 11, thanksgiving can be given in difficult times. "You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness." Let's be honest, folks. Life is not easy. Life is not fair. We live in a fallen world, and we ourselves are fallen. The human condition is filled with discouragements, disappointments, disease, death. At times, we may experience depression, self-destruction. Life is not easy. Maybe you've had a difficult year. Maybe right now you're carrying a heavy burden. Maybe it's a health concern. Maybe it's a family situation. Maybe it's something going on at work. Maybe you've lost a loved one recently. Maybe your finances aren't quite balanced out. Maybe you're lonely. Or on the other hand, maybe you're too busy. Whatever you are experiencing, King David can identify with. Again, half the book of Psalms is written by David, and he experienced the spectrum of joys and grief, of pleasures and pain, of mourning and gladness, of wearing sackcloth and dancing. What a contrast that is in verse 11. He understood that thanksgivings can come out of difficult times because he was experiencing that. He wore sackcloth back then, A sign of mourning was to wear sackcloth. Sackcloth was rough clothing, kind of like burlap bags. It was a symbol of mourning. Today in our culture, a symbol of mourning would be like wearing completely black and have a fallen countenance on your face. Symbol of mourning. It's rather obvious when a person goes through mourning. It was rather obvious when David went through mourning with the wearing of sackcloth. But the other end of the spectrum is it's very obvious when we enjoy God's blessing and give Him thanks, because our mourning is turned into dancing. Our sackcloth is now turned into garments of gladness. Clothing of gladness today would be wearing bright clothing, be a broad smile on our face. Dancing today, you know, we have to use the word creative movement. You know, some of us, you know, we weren't supposed to dance, but we do dance because we just can't sit still. Creative movement. We're excited and pleased what God has indeed blessed us with. There's plenty of examples in the Bible of people that were very thankful in difficult times. Think of Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of a great fish. And yet, he prayed in the belly, "But I will offer to you a sacrifice with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord." If Jonah can be thankful in the belly of a great fish, I think we can be thankful. Jesus at the grave of Lazarus in John 11 said, "Father, I thank you that you heard me." God hears us at the gravesites. The Apostle Paul in prison in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, says, "Always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father." Let me repeat that. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. We can be thankful even in difficult times because we know that grace and help come from our Lord. Do you realize that the history of our American holiday of Thanksgiving really has come out of difficult times? Go back to when the Pilgrims came to America in 1620. After their first year in 1621, they did have a feast of Thanksgiving where they did thank God. Do you realize that half of the residents who came over had died that year? 4 out of 24 families were wiped out that year. 14 out of 18 of the wives had died that year. Yet they made a decision to thank God and to continue on. So thanksgiving can be given in difficult times. The American Revolution, after an 8-year war of independence, that was very costly. 35,000 colonists lost their life in the fight for American freedom. 25,000 British soldiers lost their life. It was a costly war. But after that 8-year war for independence, George Washington proclaimed a Thanksgiving Day for November 26, 1789, in which he said, "To have a Thanksgiving Day was to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection and favor." President George Washington understood that Thanksgiving can be given in difficult times. The Civil War. You think our nation is divided now. The Civil War. For 4 years, our nation was utterly divided. Every state was affected. 650,000 people died in that Civil War. During that time, there was a woman by the name of Sarah Hale who kept petitioning the government to have a Thanksgiving Day, a National Thanksgiving Day. And she's famous because she's the one that wrote the poem, "Mary Had a Little Lamb." And finally, in 1863, President Lincoln heard her pleas, and because of her persistence, he proclaimed a Thanksgiving Day for the North and the South, And he said it for November 26, 1863, in the heart of the Civil War. It became a national holiday in the middle of the Civil War. Thanksgiving can be given in difficult circumstances. The Second World War. As the world was storming towards World War II, Congress was debating their involvement. Congress was also debating how to even celebrate Thanksgiving. That had become a political problem. Finally, President Roosevelt signed into law that the Thanksgiving national holiday would be officially set at the fourth Thursday of November, and that is the official time since then. He signed that into law on December 26, 1941, 19 days after the United States was drawn into World War II, the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Thanksgiving can be given in difficult times. I will call it the Cultural War of the 1960s. There is a famous children's prayer of thanks that children would recite. It went like this. We thank you for the flowers so sweet. We thank you for the food we eat. We thank you for the birds that sing. We thank you, God, for everything. And the reason for the fame of that prayer was that in June of 1963, the Supreme Court declared that that prayer, along with any other prayer, would be illegal in public schools. And therefore, they banned prayer in public schools in June 1963. Yet that prayer was exactly what our country needed, because that very November, a week before Thanksgiving, President Kennedy was assassinated. Prayers were still offered up. Thanksgiving can be given in difficult times. Thanksgiving, giving thanks should be a big part of what God's people do. Regardless of our circumstances, we need to praise God. We can watch God turn our mourning into dancing. We can wear the garments of gladness. Whatever tough times we are going through as a nation or as individuals, we still can find something to be thankful for. And right now, if you listen to the news, we're going through a national turmoil. We got the impeachment process going on. It's kind of chaos in Washington, D.C. But we still can be thankful. I still believe we live in the greatest country in the world. We live in a post-Christian culture. That means there's an increase of the non-religious. Christianity is being marginalized off to the corner. Church attendance is down. Our morals have been turned completely upside down. Traditional values are being mocked. Again, it goes back to 1963 when we kicked God out of our culture, of course. Who knows what the weather is doing? Are we experiencing climate change or not? You farmers know that you had a wet year, and you're very fortunate to get your crops harvested this year. Maybe you're experiencing a health crisis. Maybe your biggest concern is what the doctor is telling you. Maybe you lost a loved one, and some of you have lost spouses or family members this year. My wife lost a cousin to cancer. Her name was Renee. I lost an uncle, my Uncle John. We've all experienced something tough this year. The church, you folks are going through a pastoral transition. You got water damage in the basement. A number of people showed up yesterday and took out most of the carpet that's in the basement. You got to solve that problem. Yet, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 tells us, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. So thanksgiving can be done during difficult times. Amen? Amen. Finally, verse 12, the third point of this message. Thanksgiving is from the depths of our soul. That my soul may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Whatever David had experienced, he experienced the Lord of grace and help. He saw his mourning turn to dancing. And then he says that's his response, his necessary response What else can I do? My soul may sing praise to you and not be silent. If you study Davidic worship, you will notice that King David, his worship was very expressive. It was active, it was assertive. It involved his whole being. Worship was not passive. It was not secretive for him. Worship was very public. He would dance before the Lord. David placed praise and worship and thanksgiving at the center of his nation's life. For his praise was an imperative and not an option. I have a book in my library entitled People in the Presence of God, great book on worship. And there's this very profound sentence in the book that says this: all Hebrew words of praise are words that call for sound, not silence. Can't miss that one. All praise is to be verbalized, vocal. We will sing and not be silent. When we are forgiven, we celebrate, we sing. When we see God at work in our life, we celebrate, we sing. How can we be silent? O Lord, my God. David personalizes it. O Lord, my God. David understood that God is not a God just way out there. He is a God right here in his here and now, in our here and now. We too can say, O Lord, my God, because we've seen God at work in our life. We've seen God at work here and now, taking care of us daily, minute, second, meeting our many different needs. We do not live this life alone. We are very thankful that God is ever present. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. I will, an act of our will, our heart's desire, from the depth of our soul, we cannot help but say thanks for all the blessings that the Lord has given to us. Fanny Crosby, one of her many songs, says this: when I think of my blessed Redeemer, I think of him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. King David says, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Our praises on earth are but a glimpse of our praises in heaven. When all the saints of all the ages gather around the throne for all of eternity, I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know how that's going to be forever. Somehow or other, we're going to be praising God and celebrating him and all the blessings he has given to us. There's a great crowd in heaven that we can join. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 12, it says, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. We get to join that chorus of praise. And we get to celebrate what God has done in our life. You can think back in your life. You can think back this past year. And even in the difficult times, you can see that God is ever present. So this Thanksgiving, we've seen a few things this morning. We've seen that we need to be thankful to God. We can be thankful in difficult times, and our thanksgiving can come and should come from the very depths of our soul. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. I'm a graduate from the Moody Graduate School in Chicago, Illinois. I graduated from Moody in 1995. I had the privilege of walking those sacred halls. I had some great classes. It took about 10 classes from Moody. 8 of them were on the Moody campus and 2 of them were in Florida. I took the ones in Florida last. I should have taken them first because I would have never gone to Chicago. But I went to Moody Bible Institute, and I had some great professors. And I give a lot of credit for a lot of great men that were great teachers. And one of the great teachers that I had was a guy by the name of Dr. Ken Nichols. Jeanette went with me on one of the classes, and it was marriage and family, so it's expected that you should bring your wife. And it was the Chicago campus, and it was a great class. The thing I remember the most about that class was that Dr. Nichols, he would, in the midst of his lectures, he'd just stop, he'd walk off the platform, he'd just walk up and down the aisles, and he'd say, "Do you know how blessed you are? Do you know how blessed you are? Do you know how blessed you are?" And he'd go up and down the aisles, and he would make that point over and over again. I don't know how many times he interrupted the class to do that. Dr. Nichols is still alive. He lives in Virginia. He belongs to a ministry called Alive, which means always living in view of eternity. That's a great perspective, always living in view of eternity. So do you know how blessed you are? Think about it. You got this real nice church building. Downstairs, there's hardly any carpet down there, and you're going to see the floors, but you know what? You're blessed with a real nice church building. This is a great gift. You guys are blessed here. And you know what? You live in Newton, Iowa, Jasper County. Do you know how blessed you are living in Jasper County? This is a nice, quiet, peaceful county. This past month, I was on call for jury duty. I never got called. Do you know how blessed you are? This is a peaceful county. You live in the United States of America. I realize that what we've been watching on TV has been discouraging. But we still have freedom. Our economy is very good. Price of corn went up this week, didn't it? Okay, Brad, not sure. We still got religious freedom. There's no police standing outside. We got religious freedom. Do you know how blessed you are? We live in Iowa. You have four seasons that are balanced. We've lived in Minnesota. They have two seasons up there. Winter and winter is coming. This is pretty good. Do you know how blessed you are? Do you realize that that every Sunday when you guys gather together, you all have friendly faces? We all get to enjoy some sugar, some chocolate, some lemonade or some coffee. We get to fellowship with each other. And like I've said, I want to say it again, you got three services on Sunday morning, Sunday school, and then worship service. But between the two of them, you got this service called fellowship time. And it's just as sacred as everything else that you do around here. Do you know how blessed you are? You got a good school system. Our kids are being educated. Some of you are homeschooled. Some of you are in the public school system. We have Christian teachers in the public school system. Lanita and Brian, praise the Lord. We got Christian students in the public school system. We got Christians in leadership. You realize the three supervisors of Jasper County are all Bible-believing Christians? Praise the Lord. We have some good representatives and senators in the state of Iowa. Praise the Lord. We have a great governor. Our governor is a Bible-believing Christian. Praise the Lord. You know how blessed you are. Look at your families. You're going to gather with your families at Thanksgiving time. Families may be big or small. Our family's small. There's only going to be about 8 of us. But we're going to have a good time. You're going to have a good time with your family. You know how blessed you are. You can thank God for helping you through this past year. And some of you have had a difficult year, but you still can say thank you, Lord, for helping us through this year. Do you know how blessed you are? The list can go on and on and on. And I hope it does. I hope you realize, even in the difficult times, God is still ever present. Our faith is really real. What Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago is still effective for us today. One of the greatest verses in the Bible says, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I need that every day. So do you. That's a promise that Jesus keeps. We're forgiven. We're forgiven. I mess up. We confess. We're forgiven. We can go through all the biblical promises and we can see that Jesus Christ is indeed our Savior. Jesus Christ indeed is our comforter. As the psalmist says, we have grace and we have help. O Lord, my God, to you I will give thanks forever. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Father, that we are blessed indeed. And we're going to sing a hymn here in a minute that's going to remind us of that again. Lord, help us not to miss the greatness of thanksgiving. Help us not to miss that you have indeed taken care of us, even in our difficult times. Maybe we've seen you the clearest in those difficult times. Lord, thank you that we are never alone, that you are ever present. Thank you for forgiveness through the cross. Thank you for the fellowship of the church, the fellowship we have with one another as a body of believers. Thank you for our families. You've indeed blessed us with a family we love and care for. Love and care for us. Thank you for the country we live in, the state of Iowa we live in. Thank you for the freedoms we have here and the blessings that we have here. When it's not perfect, we know that. But we are here, and you have blessed us with this. Thank you, Father, that we have a home in heaven waiting for us. The saints of all the ages who have gone on before us are there. Loved ones of ours are there. Someday in your timing, we will join them for all of eternity. And somehow or other, in that span of eternity, we're going to praise you. We're going to see the greatness of what you are and what you've done on our behalf. Lord, we get a glimpse of that here on earth. And this Thanksgiving season, help us to truly be thankful people. O Lord, our Lord, I will give thanks to you forever. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you please take your hymnal, stand with us, and turn to number 771. We are going to sing Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One. So number 771, we'll sing the first, second, and third verse as we close this morning.
When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven nor your home on high. Count count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
Hey, thanks for coming, everybody. Have a great day. Have a great Thanksgiving. And don't forget, be thankful. Thank God. Thank Him for all He's done.
Do you have anything to go with tacos?